power that rose Jesus from the dead. Wow. And that's why we meet on Sundays. Someone might ask you, why do you meet on Sunday? It's the day of resurrection, the first day of the week. The ladies went to the tomb on the first day of the week and found it empty. And we meet on Sunday, the first day of the week. Isn't God's creation amazing? Did we have snow last week? Yes. What's the ground look like now? Yes! The snow's disappearing. And after you've been here a few years, you learn not to anticipate too far ahead. But it is nice to see spring on the way and flowers growing. But consider the trees a minute. Just for a minute. What different kinds of fruits do you enjoy that come from trees? Well, there's pine cones and spruce cones. But you don't eat those. Apples and cherries and pears. What a variety from trees. There's also the woods. The kinds of woods that you get from the trees. There's hardwoods and there's softwoods and there's fragrant wood. And then there's hemlock that stinks no matter what you do with it. But aren't trees amazing? Is there a passage that comes to mind when you think of trees in the Bible? Well, there must be. I heard some mumbling out there. How about if we look at Psalm 1? We're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, but we're just taking a meander around while we get there. But Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It's as far as I'll read that this morning, but here we have a tree in the very first psalm in the Bible. A tree that's planted by the streams, by the rivers of water, brings forth fruit, leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So is that person, like a tree. Well, the Apostle Paul uses the image of a tree, I believe, as we read in Colossians chapter 2. There's a bit of that image also here when he is progressing with the Colossian people in the city of Colossae to mature them, that they grow up in their faith, that they become, some translations say, perfect or mature in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we read in Colossians chapter 2, we can watch for that tree image that might come up. Starting at verse 6 in Colossians 2, the Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Father, we would pray that with the mighty power of your Spirit, you would plow our hearts to receive the Word, that you would plant the Word of God as a seed that will grow, that will spring up, blessing us, blessing many. And we pray that you would work out your Word in our lives this morning, as we look to you to be our teacher, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how you feel about the book of Colossians. I love this little book. It's only three chapters, or four chapters, I think. Nope, it's four. And I should read ahead, I suppose. But four chapters, but it's pointing to Christ over and over and over again. Our position in Christ, our resources in Christ, and here we have some resources. He expects us to take these resources, grow by them, and be able to bear fruit. And so when we start reading it, verse 6, we're going to spend a little bit of time in this verse, so if you have your Bibles open, just take note of that. See what it has to say. And trust the Lord. If you have another thought, as any preacher is preaching, if you have a thought and you bring it before the Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? And you may go off someplace else. Now, if you close your eyes and go off someplace else, I'm going to think you're sleeping. But like an old friend used to say, when his wife would poke him in the ribs, he'd say, "I was praying." So, but you know, this is legitimate. If even in a sermon or you're watching a TV program and someone's preaching or listening to the radio and your mind goes off on a tangent, ask if that's from the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to learn? What is this about? What are you doing with me now? And let's do that, because we want you to be rooted and build up in the faith. And it doesn't all come from the pulpit. In fact, we want the Lord to be teaching us. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 6 is mentioned and put forth as the storehouse of resources for growing Christians. He is the storehouse. He's where all the resources are. And we're going to spend a little bit of time here on these names. We all have a name, don't we? And some of you, your parents just didn't have a lot of creativity, because it seemed to be a very common name in our generation. All of you with the name Linda, how many Lindas do we have? How about Carol? How about Bob? Rick? Yeah. Here we go. You know, there's repeats. And what do we do, though, when we hear our name? I can be walking through Winco, and over the loudspeaker, it will say something like, "Brian, will you please come to checker 3? Whatever for? How did they know I was here? Because our name identifies us, doesn't it? If we hear our name, we suspect, first of all, that someone's trying to get our attention, even if it's in a store like Winco or Walmart or something like that. But a name, if someone is around you for some time and never calls you by name, it's a bit of a letdown, isn't it? When someone goes to camp, for instance, to help and works with kids for a whole week, and especially within the cabin, you have 9 or 10 kids in your cabin, and if you can't get their names down in the first couple days, that kid is offended. Because how important am I to you if you can't call me by my name? Names are important. And when we come to the Bible and it lists several names for Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, there's a reason for that. Because we need to get to know Him. There's a lot of people who may be called Lord. And in fact, there were kings, before Christ. One of them was Antioch Epiphanes, who called himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, really? And he's grasping out there to be ultimate king. And he set himself up in the temple, a statue of himself in the temple, because he thought so much of himself, he should be worshipped as God. So there's a reason we want to know the genuine Christ. And there's, in getting to know him by his names, we have a better picture of him even as we pray, as we refer to him in talking to somebody. There are three names here. The first one is Christ. That's the name that we read in our Bibles. That you might have a Bible like the Holman Christian Standard Bible, instead of using the word Christ, uses the term Messiah. It's a translation of the word in the Hebrew, Messiah. And so he is the Messiah, the anointed one. He's the one that the Old Testament spoke of, the servant of Jehovah, the servant of Yahweh, and a lot of things associated with that term Christ. But he is the Old Testament prophet, priest, and king, referred to that way in the Old Testament, the different ways. But Christ is a very specific name, and we use that almost like a first name throughout the New Testament. Christ did this. You are called in Christ, and that term is used frequently. Jesus, the Bible says that we have received Christ Jesus, and it refers to his humanity. And in his humanity, he became the sacrifice for sin. He's perfect in all respects, that as a man, he lived a perfect life. Jesus, the sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, he is master. He is God revealed in human form. He's the creator. He is Lord. It refers to his deity. And he is Lord. We don't make him Lord. He is Lord. He is God in the flesh. He is the God-man. He was not made Lord by any human consent or decision or conference or council. He is Lord because that's who he is. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and this Word refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God spoke at the beginning, he said, "Let there be light." The Word was spoken. The Word was empowered to create. Coming to Jesus then, as it says in our Bibles, receiving him does not alter anything about Jesus. We don't add anything to him. We don't take anything from him as far as depleting him of anything. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we receive him, we receive all that he is. The Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence in us. The Bible tells us that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are full of the Spirit of Christ. Verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So we have these details about Jesus being the storehouse of resources. We are to walk in him. We are to walk in his purpose, in his counsel. We are to walk and live step by step, day by day, in his resources, the counsel, his enabling. In 2 Peter, Peter wrote into this too. He said, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of him." We have everything we need for life and godliness. Peter also said that Christians need to continue to grow in their knowledge of Christ. And he wrote, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So how do we do that? Verse 7 takes off on that. What does Jesus provide for us? We are to be rooted and built up in him. Now, we can refer back to Psalm 1 and get that picture again. What did the tree do? It was thriving because of where it was planted. And we are to be rooted and built up in Christ. Last, I don't know if it was Tuesday or Thursday, having coffee with the men up at Terrace Lakes. Some of them had experiences that I've never had in construction and building big buildings in soft ground. And on the eastern seaboard, they got to talking about having to drive pilings and drive them way deep down in the ground because in storms, the ground doesn't hold well and things can move around in wind and water. And so they were talking about wooden pilings, I think, for the most part. Iron, steel would rust and corrode. I think they were wooden pilings. That's what we had in the Columbia River also. But they had to go really deep. They had to go down where the ground was solid, and they had to get through the sand and muck and anything else, and then build an immovable building. They want it to stay put. When the Bible tells us to be rooted and grounded in Christ, so that is your resource. I was wondering in our Sunday school class this morning, the adult Bible study, we were talking about Genesis chapter 1 and how God created. But there's a lot of different theories about how God did that. But we want to get through the things that might be a little more frivolous, it might be a little less secure than the way God described it. And we want to put our lives, our roots down into the bedrock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take His word for it. When the Bible speaks of something, consider what God says, because we're considering the source, not just a philosophy or a theory or an object, but we want to consider the source of teaching. Where is this coming from? I'll tell you now, so if anyone wants to use it next Sunday, they can. But my thinking is, it's best to have an eyewitness report. Would you agree? If most things that go on, it's best to learn from a person who actually observed or experienced a certain thing. And at creation, who was there? God was. When God gives His testimony about creation, He was there. He can say this is how it happened. There are a lot of things that we can observe in our time right now that is available to anybody who wants to test or experience the things that we have right now. But if we're going to go back thousands and thousands of years, we're going to get an eyewitness report from the person who was there and say, you have the things presently like everybody else has, but God was there when it was created. Be rooted and built up and unmovable because you're built on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing it says here, and established in the faith, strengthened to withstand the storms of life. I thought about things I've learned about our congregation, and there are things that have been hurtful to a lot of people. And you carry wounds and bruises and scars. You carry those things. And sometimes a person might wonder, where was God when a certain hurtful thing happened? I heard an older when I was young. The person was much older than I was. But it stuck in my mind of something that he said. When someone asked him, where was God when this thing happened? And this older pastor, missionary, said, God was where he always is. He was right there with you. And he said, why did he let it happen? And the answer was, would it have happened if you didn't know the Lord? Just imagine for a moment that you didn't know the Lord when the incident happened. God doesn't say he won't let incidences happen. He says he would walk with us through it. He'll support you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you strength through those things. Because it might be that whether you were a Christian or not, that thing would happen. But as a Christian, the Lord promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You go through that. What are you doing when you go through those hurtful times and you are able to say, even in this, Jesus is Lord? Jesus is still in control of this situation, even though from my perspective, it hurts deeply. I don't think I'll ever recover. Some people don't entirely recover, not until we're with the Lord. But through this, as a Christian, can you say, and I hope we grow in this, that Jesus is Lord. And I know he is with me because his word, he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, the last part of that verse says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And evidence that you can come back and say, Jesus is in control of this. The Lord is still by me, supporting me, enabling me. He is Lord. And that is only expressed because the Holy Spirit in my life. If it was left up to me, seeing things from my perspective, resting on my own wisdom, my own feelings, I would say, where was God? But by the Spirit of God, we are able to say, and we're prompted to say, Jesus is Lord. Established in the faith, rooted, built up, established in the faith. And so we take faith steps, and everything that happens, not everything is a big event. But everything that happens in our lives is an opportunity to take another faith step, to grow in our faith, to say, Jesus is Lord, and where do we go from here? Lord Jesus. You are to be rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, as you were taught. Most of us have been taught by people. There are teachers that minister to kids. Maybe you were a child when you first heard about Jesus. Youth. That's why we have Young Life and youth groups. And for adults, you were taught by people. But more importantly, I would pray that you would seek your teaching from the Word of God, that you would have time to read the Word of God, the Bible, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. It's Psalm 119 and verse 18 that is our, it's a pre-study prayer Psalm 119 and verse 18. You can hit Psalm 119 and still have to flip quite a few pages before you get to verse 18. Open my eyes. And we can pray this before we read the Bible and pray expectantly that the Holy Spirit will teach us. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. The wondrous things that are in the Bible. Open my eyes, Lord. We sing that sometimes. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Where do we see him? The Word of God. And if you would like to have your eyes automatically go to that when you're flipping through Psalms, mark Psalm 119 and verse 18. Make it your prayer. Paul goes off from talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and being rooted, grounded in him, because there's a reason. We have an enemy out there that's trying to uproot us. Christians need to be alert and be able to detect falsehood. There are three things that I'd like for you to note in your notes if you have that paper out. The attacks against God and his people come from rebellious, sinful people, from demonic forces and world systems and governments. We're standing in Christ that the world opposes. Our strength comes from God, who the Bible says is obsolete or dead. And the attacks against God and his people come from rebellious, sinful people. They come from demonic forces and world systems and governments. So we're up against a mighty foe, aren't we? We're standing weak little people against a world that says, you are canceled. We don't want to hear from you. We don't want to hear what you have to say, what you stand for. Demonic forces are plaguing you and saying, really? Haven't you made mistakes in your life? Do you think you're so good? And Satan and his demons try to tear us down. And sinful, rebellious people say, what you're doing is against the law. You're not allowed to say that in a school board meeting. You're not allowed to say that in the public square. It's against the law. And we're not talking just about the United States. In the UK, the lady that was praying near a closed abortion center was arrested for her thoughts because she had her head bowed and eyes closed. The world is against us. And you stand up in court and you make your case and they say that doesn't count. Because the world is under the influence, under the control of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that. We know that the whole world lies in wickedness. We need to be alert to the enemy. He tries to overwhelm us with earthly wisdom, uses deception to pull us away from Christ, and human tradition and history and majority opinion to influence us. Put your roots down. Be built up in Christ and established in the faith. You see how the government demands conformity now on social issues. Things the Bible condemns and warns against is popularized by influential people. Human wisdom is called progressive. Christianity is called obsolete. Why do we need to be rooted? Why do we need to walk in Christ? Because, beware, be on your alert against those that would try to destroy the faith. But we have Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And you are complete in Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. Jesus revealed His power as a man when He was on earth. Jesus revealed His power over creation. As Creator, He was at the beginning. As the man on the earth, a paralyzed man was let down through a roof of a home where Jesus was, and Jesus said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." The people there thought, "What in the world is he saying? Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus said, "Just so you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins, I say to this one, get it, take up your mat, your bed, and walk." And he did. Jesus had the authority over sin. As God incarnate, He overruled the sin and the death. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And He Himself is victorious over death. As Creator, He was at the beginning. As God incarnate, He overruled sin and death. And as Judge of the earth, He will return as King of kings and Lord of lords. He will judge. We haven't seen all of that yet. But He will come again as Judge and King of kings and Lord of lords. Life in the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who receives, as verse 6, who receives the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are complete in Him. You become a new creature, a new creation in Jesus. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "The old things have passed away, and all things have become new." What determined your life before, what you rested in as being purposeful, that passes away. It's not the priority it used to be. All things have become new. So we go back to Psalm 1. "And like a tree planted by streams of water in Christ, you bring forth fruit. The leaves will not wither, but will keep giving evidence of life in the Spirit. And whatever you do will prosper, bringing glory to God, who called you according to His purpose." So Jesus extends His call to everybody, to all people. "Come, follow Me. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to be called children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Child of God. Planted deeply, rooted deeply, strengthened and built up. Are you one of those? Is that your ambition? Be rooted in Christ, strengthened for His purposes. Let's pray. Father, we can respond to Your gift of Your Son. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Life in the Spirit. Life in Christ. We thank You for giving us that. That we can be like a tree, as Psalm 1 speaks of, and bear fruit for Your glory. We don't have to be tossed around, as the Bible warns us, by every wind of teaching, every wind of doctrine. But I pray that as a church, we might be standing in Christ. you would empower us, that you would bring about your fruit and bring it in your time. But we want to follow you. We want to pursue you. Give us a heart to do that in Jesus' name. Well, we